Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 3rd of December, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, you know, I still don't believe it's December, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm in denial about that as well. What I can confirm is that it is Friday, this week you are here on the Friday show for all the regular reasons. You were on earlier this week. We had to tell people not to freak out, but this one is the one for freaking out. So we're just going to get right to it. You may have heard some coverage, I guess we'll say, of people using AirTags to steal cars, we'll say. And it's not entirely, like, it's not because of AirTags. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, it's not like... It's not a flaw in AirTags itself. It's just that they are location trackers, and this could be used with other location trackers too. The York Regional Police in Canada issued a warning, I think it was yesterday, warning people that they've seen an uptick in thieves using AirTags to track and steal high-end vehicles across the York region. So they say this has been happening since September. They have found five incidents in which these people are placing AirTags on vehicles using maybe some kind of magnetic case. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they put the AirTag on the vehicle to track them to the victim's residence, and then they steal it from the driveway, probably, you know, sometime during the night. They shared a few prevention tips, like, if possible, park your vehicle in a locked garage, use the steering wheel lock, install a lock on the data port, and maybe have some kind of outside video surveillance system at home.
Okay. Yeah. Those are all good things. I mean, those are all generally sort of good ideas. So the thing I had been wondering about was, like, where, before I read the story and just saw a bunch of people talking about using AirTags to steal cars. It's basically like, I like this car. I want to go pick it up later, and so I'm going to stick the thing on it so I can find it when I'm available then for Grand Theft Auto later this evening, because right now I have plans.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of those that kind of just mostly falls into the people suck category of theory. Mm-hmm. We've talked about, like, being able to, you know, the left behind and being able to hear... the AirTag tell you, like, the thing I'm registered to is not nearby anymore and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's probably something, I would imagine that this is something that's probably going, like, under the bumper in the back, you know, like, way away from the driver's compartment, so that you're not like, what is that little tiny noise that I'm hearing all of a sudden? So
right.
They're or probably...
Another option that I was thinking of is maybe they just do it, like, same day kind of thing, where it doesn't even, like, because I think the beeping happens maybe after 3 days, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of time. So, yeah. So that's fun. This is our sort of, well, and the thing that, the reason we wanted to talk about it is because it's not a problem within AirTags, and it's not something inherent in AirTags or Tile or Chipolo or any of the other trackers or anything. This isn't anything that's inherent in that's inherently a flaw in those devices that is causing them to be used in this way. This is just somebody got creative and figured out, like, if I stick an AirTag on a car, I can go find it later when I decide I want it to be my car. And that's a different thing. So it's not that AirTags are a problem. They are sort of they've been subverted is basically what it is. So that's why we wanted to talk about it. It's not like, I'm not going to keep an AirTag on my keychain because then my car will get stolen. Like, that's not what we're talking about. So, once again, just shining a little sunlight on some of the information out there to make sure you have an accurate picture. I'm going to say not to make it not so bad, but to at least know what it is that people are talking about.
Yeah.
This week we're trying out a new rating system and for our stories. And this one is the 3 screaming face emoji story of the week. So if you have a better system for us to use, by all means, let us know at observations@macobserver.com. But in the meantime, this week's three screaming emoji story has to do with apartment complexes in South Korea.
Yeah, so Jeff Butts for us, the Mac Observer, he's the one who wrote this up. And this is pretty scary, as Kelly mentioned. He says that during Black Friday weekend, hackers in South Korea were wreaking havoc in apartment complexes. They took over the cameras for over 700 different complexes. And it's because these cameras are all on the same network subnet, which means, you know, I think maybe you're the one who said this, Kelly. There's no multiple things you have to hack. It's just like one gateway, you break through it, and then suddenly they have access to all of these different cameras.
Yeah. And like in practical terms, that seems like a good setup, right? Like you are a property company, you own a bunch of buildings. So instead of having to go update things on each individual network, like have everything set up on one network so that you can push an update out to everything and it's all fine. You don't have to do the same thing six times for six buildings or whatever. Like on paper, that sounds like a great idea. And then something like this happens and you might want to rethink it.
Yes. And so, you know, these are cameras inside people's apartments. And they discovered this. They say one official from South Korea's police cyber team was able to find a posting from one of the alleged hackers on a dark web website. So it sounds like, you know, whatever personal compromising pictures were recorded by the video surveillance devices, they were being sold.
So, yeah, and part of the reason that this was the alarming story is because there are apartment buildings in the United States that have a similar setup, not necessarily multiple buildings all linked together. I don't have network topography for apartment management companies across the United States, but for someone to get access to everything in an entire building very easily through something like this, which is now a thing, because a lot of times, like, there are apartment buildings now where you move in and you just sort of get signed on to whatever the internet provider is they've set up for the building, or the TV provider or whatever. So all your network stuff just kind of happens for you when you move into someplace like that. And so somebody being able to get into that network then means they're now in like everyone's apartment, right? So that's why this one was the screaming emoji story of the week, is because it's the ramifications. Yeah, the ramifications of something like this and where it could go is terrifying. So sleep tight, everybody. We've got a lot more to talk to you about. But first, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, which is Coinbase. Now, cryptocurrency might seem like it's a secret or an exclusive kind of club that you're not supposed to be part of, but Coinbase believes everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Regardless of the level of cryptocurrency experience you have, Coinbase is here for you. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. They support the most popular currencies on the market and make them accessible to everyone. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're new to crypto, you're looking to diversify, or you just want a better way to manage the parts of your portfolio that already exist, you can start today with Coinbase. Here's how. For a limited time, my users can get $10 in free Bitcoin if you sign up for your new account today at coinbase.com/TDO. New users, 10 bucks free Bitcoin. All you have to do is go to coinbase.com/TDO. You will get $10 in free Bitcoin. Now, this offer is limited time only, so make sure you sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TDO. I'd like to thank Coinbase for sponsoring the show today. Now, our next story is, I'm going to call this the unicorn chaser of the show today, because this is the nice, interesting, fun story that is not alarming in any way at all.
Yeah, this is a cool story. So this report comes from the Wall Street Journal. I guess Intel has what they call a secret warehouse in Costa Rica, and it stores around 3,000 pieces of hardware and software going back to about a decade. They say that Intel plans to expand the warehouse, nearly doubling the space and hosting even more hardware and software. And they're doing this specifically for security, because most every piece of hardware and software is going to have some kind of security flaw in it. And it's good to, you know, collect that and study it and then plan your patches for future pieces of hardware. Mm-hmm. They say they noticed that Intel was making, making dozens of new products each year, from chips to software platforms, but they didn't really have a formal method for cataloging and storing older technology so the engineers could test them for the security flaws. And yeah. They write, some devices were so scarce, their security researchers had to, like, comb the internet for them, like on eBay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff is always interesting to me, because I think a lot of digital stuff ends up being kind of nebulous over time. Like, everybody has, you know, that thing they backed up on that floppy that time that they can't get a hold of anymore. And So having somebody put a little more effort behind actively making sure that some of this stuff is available for people to try out and make sure everything's going okay. That was part of what I liked about this one. And it was just also kind of neat to see that somebody was, it's somebody's job to go preserve all that stuff, right? Like, make sure they turn on, make sure things are functional. So I kind of liked the idea of sort of having a functional museum for that, which seemed kind of cool. So.
Right. And they, you know, you may be thinking, well, it's in Costa Rica, that's kind of far away, right? But they do say Intel engineers can request a specific machine in any configuration of their choice. It's assembled on site by technician, and then they can access it through cloud services.
Nice. That's very cool. So interesting. Yeah, that's super fun. And I like that. I'm glad it's getting attention, because it's also just kind of fun that somebody's out there, like, collecting old hardware for stuff like this so that things can be preserved. It's kind of nice. So unfortunately, this week, it's always nice to be able to inform everybody so that people are up to speed on everything. But I have to tell you how tired I am of saying the following phrase: this week in data breaches. And this week is a little more interesting than most. And so part of why we want to make sure everybody knows about it is, in case this is something that affects you or may affect someone you know, you want to make sure that data gets mitigated in some way.
Yeah. So this is, I think, an important thing to, you know, tell people, like Kelly said, because it was Planned Parenthood, the Los Angeles branch. The Washington Post reports that in October they had a breach that resulted in that affected about 400,000 patients. Now, they are quick to point out it is limited to just this Los Angeles branch. A spokesperson for Planned Parenthood had said there's no indication at this point that the information was used for fraudulent purposes. They've definitely sent out letters to affected patients, and some of the data that was leaked includes your name and one or more of the following: address, insurance information, date of birth, and various types of clinical information. They say it happened between October 9th and October 17th. These hackers were able to install malicious software and probably, you know, maybe some kind of backdoor, and that's how they were able to get the files.
Okay. So if you know anyone in the LA area who may have availed themselves of services from Planned Parenthood, let them know. Because there can be a lot of fallout from any kind of data breach. So particularly when it comes to medical information, that can be even doubly so.
Yeah.
So next up, we have an interesting story about another one. This is another of those, in case you know anybody, you should let them know about this. And this is if you are an AT&T internet subscriber, although this is mostly business customers, right?
Right. So this story comes from Ars Technica. And yes, at the top of the story, I wanted to say this. It sounds like it mostly affects AT&T business internet subscribers. They say it's probably mostly small to medium-sized businesses because the device model that has been affected by these attacks, it's this malware that allows the devices to be used in denial of service attacks, like maybe a botnet and attacks on various internal networks. And the device is the Edgemark Enterprise Session Border Controller. And this is a device used by, like I said, some of these businesses to manage phone calls and video conferences and other types of real-time communications. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they say the session border controller has access to a lot of bandwidth and can access potentially sensitive information. And all that bandwidth, like I mentioned, is great for something like a denial of service attack.
Yeah. So that's part of what makes those sort of ripe for the picking is that they're just sort of built to shove that kind of data through the pipe. And yeah, so that's always nice to get your hands on. that's going to be fun. Yeah. Next up, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. This is a theft from the project Badger DAO.
That's how I've been pronouncing it, too. So this is a cryptocurrency or at least blockchain related company, DAO, DAO. That is a decentralized autonomous organization. I'm not going to get into explaining what that is.
Yeah, it's OK.
So Motherboard wrote this up for Vice. They say hackers have stolen a reported $119 million in cryptocurrency from BadgerDAO. I guess BadgerDAO tweeted about this on Wednesday. They wrote that it received reports of unauthorized withdrawals of user funds. And as Motherboard points out, it sounds like it wasn't really a fancy, complicated hack relating to the blockchain itself. They call it an old school attack. So it sounds like BadgerDAO's API key for their Cloudflare account was compromised, stolen, and then they used that to log into their system and inject some kind of malicious script into their front end for their website and compromise some smart contracts, it sounds like.
Yeah, so wonderful. This is the kind of thing that is always a good example. And that is, you know, if somebody gets a username and a password for something of yours, if there's no other real information attached to it, like it doesn't seem like the worst thing. But if you're using that same password, that user ID and password someplace where there is payment information, that's how stuff like this happens. Because whoever collected this data is now using that same set of credentials to see if Amazon or Apple or McDonald's or DoorDash or whatever else is using the same password. So that's where these sorts of things end up spilling over. And most people, like in real life, like nobody's expected to remember all the passwords that you have to remember. And especially because they all need to be different and they all need to be complicated. This is just another one of those why we tell people to have a password manager stories, I think.
That's another recurring segment. So for individuals, please use a password manager. For businesses, please don't make your login information be admin.
Mm-hmm. And if you work in an organization or if you have things at your house that have default credentials, you know, so that you can take it out of the box and log in and set it up the first time, the first thing you should do 100% of the time with those devices is always go change that password. And if it's add a new sticker to the bottom that says like actual admin password on it, because nobody else is going to have that, only you. So, you know, because physical access is most of how people get into things. So, you know, if you're that worried about it, then just make sure that that you've got it on the bottom and, you know, lock the cabinet or whatever. And that'll get you there. So that's what we've got for today. thank you, Andrew, for being here. I hope we didn't freak people out too much.
I hope not. It is the weekend, so whether it's three screaming emojis or maybe three wine emojis, we're here for you.
My weekend will be three whiskey emojis, because some of that was pretty rough. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Be excellent to each other. And let's be careful out there.